You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon.
And so I'm going to take 1 Corinthians chapter 13, especially the ones that I'm not going to go through scripture by scripture, but we are looking at a topic here on Christian love. So we are going to really expose that part that says that greatest of these is love. That is, love is greater than all the prophecies, all the miracles, and anything else. The greatest is love. I know a lot of times we come into this portion of the scripture, and we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we say, oh, alright, I see that love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail, whether there are tongues, they will cease, whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away, but love continues forever, and the greatest of it is love. And we say, hallelujah, thank you God. But, do we really know what it means here? Do we really comprehend the root of this message, what Paul is trying to communicate to each one of us? Yeah, prophecies, miracles, healings. What are these? These are excellent, extraordinary gifts. Healings, miracles. You see, miracle, wow! And for us to understand this, the greatness of Christian love, which is above any other spiritual gifts, first we need to see how great these extraordinary gifts are, the other gifts. We don't see the other gifts, how great the other gifts are, we cannot see the greater that is love. So we need to see how great the prophecies were, how great the miracles were. Remember, it is a great, you know, even Moses cried out and he wished that all the people were prophets during his time. I wish that all can prophesy. His wish was, my wish is that all the people were prophets. So, but Paul is saying, but the greatest is love. You know, it is a great privilege to hear the word of God, which has been spoken by the prophets. The prophets were inspired by the Spirit of God. But it is a greater thing to be a prophet who preaches the word of God by inspired God. The prophets, what he does is he makes the will of God known to the people. So it is a greater thing to be a prophet. Moses was called by God to be a prophet. God used him as an instrument to reveal what? The law of God to the children of Israel. And also we see how God used Moses and Aaron in miracles in Egypt. Great miracles. And we see how even God used a greater miracle in the Red Sea. God used Moses. That was a miracle. And also we see how God used David as he penned the Psalms.
It was God's Spirit pouring upon David. It was a prophet here. And we see Elijah and Elisha. Wow, you're talking about miracles. See what they did. Performed great miracles. And what else? We see how God bestowed on Daniel the understanding of visions, interpreting of dreams, where Nebuchadnezzar even forgot the dream. Other astrologers, they say, just tell the dream. Nebuchadnezzar said, I forgot. And here, with the amazingly, Daniel was able to tell the dream where king forgot and also to interpret. That is a miracle. Daniel became greater than all the magicians and astrologers, the soothsayers in the entire land of Babylon. Wow! Isn't that great or what? And Paul is saying, but the greatest is what? Love. Are you getting the message here? In Daniel chapter 5 verse 11, here we see there is one man in your kingdom. This is the king Belshazzar. Well, you know, he forgot Daniel. This is where the handwriting on the walls came. And there is one man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. This is spoken by the queen. Okay, and he says here, in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, chaldeans, and soothsayers. This is where the handwriting on the walls came, and nobody could interpret. Then verse 12 says, in as such an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Daniel was honored more than anybody else in Babylon. Even in Daniel chapter 6, this is after the Persians came. Now, it's not the Babylonians. Persians came, Darius came, and conquered Babylon. In chapter 6, verse 1 says that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to him, so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Wow! Because of divine interpretations, because of divine prophecy, Daniel was honored more than all, as God was exalted among the heathen. Now, remember, Christ Jesus also bestowed great privileges upon the apostles, right? The apostles, they had privileges where nobody else had. They were greatly honored. They were apostles. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 21 verse 14, Revelation had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles and the Lamb. Amazing. What do we see here? We see that the prophets were greatly honored. We see that Daniel was able to interpret dreams. We see how Elijah and Elisha and Moses and Aaron, they did great miracles. But yet, Paul is saying, love is the greatest. We see the apostles, their names are there in the foundations. of the great city. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 says, therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the house of God, and are built upon the foundation of who? The apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth in a holy temple in the Lord. And here we see the apostles, they are in the foundation of this church, the building. What a great honor. What a great honor to be a prophet. What a great honor to do miracles, just like Moses and the apostles and Elisha, they did. It's a great honor, great privilege. It's a great thing. And we see how God used Apostle John, giving him the visions in the last days, what's going to take place. Prophecies. He's talking prophecies. Wow. But Paul is saying, love is greater. God, he gave great honor to the prophets of that day by empowering them with extraordinary gifts. Remember, Moses and Aaron, they were envied by the others because of this great extraordinary gift. God empowered on them, the others envied them. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 106 verse 14. Psalm, let's start a little bit further. Verse 9 says, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. He led them through the depths and through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. And then they believed his words. They sang his praises. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. But it says in verse 14, says, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Verse 15, and he gave their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. They envied them for the grace. God empowered them with power, with great miracles they did. They envied because somebody else had a great, they were so much powerful among the people, what God did. God used them as instruments, but the people envied. They were jealous. If you remember Joshua, one way envied by Joshua, who envied a young man who prophesied. Even Joshua envied. If you turn with me to Numbers chapter 11 verse 27. Numbers 11:27. And there was a young man who told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And here comes somebody and tells Moses, there was these two people, Eldad and Medad, they are prophesying in the camp. And what happened? Verse 28. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto me, envious thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Joshua envied because prophecy was great. It's a greater thing. And Moses said, I wish everybody can prophesy. And Moses said, I wish everybody can prophesy. But Paul says, love is greater. Love is greater. Sometimes God sent angels to reveal things of prophecy because prophecy is greatly honored. You remember in Revelation chapter 19 verse 10. Return with me, please, Revelation 19:10. John, and I fell at his feet to worship him. John fell at the feet of the angels to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And also in Revelation chapter 22 verse 18, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Verse 9 says, then said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. What do we see here? When Apostle John was about to worship the angel rebuked him and said, angel, acknowledge the prophecy that comes from the Lord and not the angel. So the prophecy is a great thing. It's greater. Even John, he was trying to worship because he saw this great prophecy that is going to come. But Paul is saying, love is greater. Love is greater. Imagine that. Remember, let us see some of the miracles now. Remember the heathen city of Lystra. When these heathen saw Apostle Paul and Barnabas, when they did miracles, they were about to sacrifice them and make them as gods. Acts chapter 14 verse 8. 14:8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up right on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of man. When, remember, they were trying to worship them. Why? The miracles. A great miracle in the sight of heathens. But Paul is saying, love is greater. Greater than that miracle. Remember Simon, the sorcerer, saw great miracles and signs and wonders what the apostles did. He offered money. Give me this. Give me this power. So when I lay hands on them, they will also receive the Holy Ghost. I'll give you money. Because they saw. He saw the power of the miracle. Apostle Paul said, love is greater. Acts chapter 8 verse 13. Then Simon himself also baptized, and he was baptized. He continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Then he says, now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this what? Power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter rebuked him, saying, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness. Wow. See how extraordinary the gifts, as they were really extraordinary gifts. Yet the word of God says, what is the greatest gift? Faith, hope, and love is greater than this gift. And the greatest is what? Some even offered money to see this power. But the greatest is love. Wow, how can this be? Especially when we read that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read, oh, you see, greatest is love. All right, amen, hallelujah. And we go. Oh, all right, brother, hug one another. Greatest is love. Is that what Paul is saying here? Hugging each other, giving a bear hug? After seeing the greatness of prophecy, the miracles that we cannot even comprehend, still he said the greatest is love. How can this be? Especially when we see these great miracles, the greatness of prophecy and the powers of miracles. Does it mean to say that Christian love is greater than all these miracles? What Moses did, parting the Red Sea? Does it mean that the Christian love is greater than all the miracles, what Elijah and Elisha did? Does it mean that it is greater than all what Daniel was able to interpret, King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, where he even King Nebuchadnezzar forgot the dream, and he was able to tell the dream and interpret the dream? With even greater, you see, Christian love is greater than all these things? What is the answer? Yes! Yes! It is greater! It is the greatest! Do we have this love? Think about it. We got to read the Bible intelligently. God gave us a brain to think, not just eyes to see. If this is the Word of God, how are you reading it? How do you study it? Remember that faith, hope, and love is given only to a peculiar people. It's been given only to the godly, to the elect of God. This happens when the saving grace of God's power comes and gives to the believing sinner a new heart and a new spirit. It's the saving grace of God. When God gives a new heart, he becomes a new person. The new heart. Your thinking will change now. Your attitude will change. You will not boast anymore what you have been boasting. You will be humble. And it will be a new person. You will become a new person. Your thinking will change. When your thinking changes, your attitude changes, thinking changes, then what changes? The behavior. Automatic, isn't it? Attitude, thinking, then your behavior will change. You become a new person. So here we see this love, when God regenerates a person, when God gives a new heart to a person, and this love is already seated in the heart of the believer. It is an inherent in his nature. It is inherent in us because the Holy Spirit lives where? Is it outside? Inside of the believer. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is inherent. This love is natural. This love is not natural to the natural man, to the unbeliever. So Christian love comes from the power of salvation. Comes from the power of salvation. All the others, what we saw, the great miracles, the prophecies, all those things are great. It comes from the power of God. It is not inherent in the prophets to do it themselves. It is come from outside. But the Christian love is inherent in us. So this, on the other hand, the working of miracles is not inherent in the prophets, but love comes from this true grace. It is through working of miracle, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, apostles, you know, they had divine gifts were given to Daniel. These were very holy people. Yet it was not their holiness that consisted of these gifts. They were holy people. So not their holiness that they did all these things. They were excellent gifts. It was just like a garment that they had to wear, which they wore. It was like a precious jewel that was worn, right? But the true grace, true saving grace, the true grace is where the soul, it becomes itself like a precious jewel. And God gives, you know, extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit produces much effects upon people. You know, they can interpret visions and predict the future. It is like the Spirit of God that moved on the face of the waters, but the Spirit of God did not impart Himself on the water. So here we see the God, the Spirit of God, it does not communicate absolutely fully. However, when the Spirit bestows His saving grace, He imparts Himself to the soul, His own holy nature. Spirit becomes an indwelling part of ourselves. We become the partakers of the Holy Spirit, because God dwells in there, in the believer. You know, before the Spirit of God empowers to perform miracles, but now the Spirit of God in the believer is, we can see the fullness of His holy nature and communicates to the believer. If you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, start from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has been given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are really partakers of the divine nature now, because it's in us. The Holy Spirit that is in you. Remember Colossians chapter 3 verse 10. Colossians 3:10. Starting from verse 9. Let's see. Go a little further. Verse 8. But now you yourself, Colossians 3:8. But now you yourself are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Of course, before that means we read all these things. But now, no more. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off what? The old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Wow. The image that was broken in the garden, now it's been renewed. And also Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23. Ephesians 4:23. Apostle Paul said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which God has created according, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. Just imagine. Thirdly, sometimes the extraordinary gifts, those miracles, those great prophecies are given also to the ungodly, to the wicked people. Remember Judas Iscariot was a wicked man. Yes. Matthew chapter 10, 1. He had called unto him his 12. Of course we know one was who? Judas. 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. That's including who? Judas. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, and he names them. And verse 4, we see Simon the Canaanite, and who else? Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. He's one of the apostles. Then see verse 8. Says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. Here we see these extraordinary gifts were given even to the wicked, to the ungodly. Now don't ask me why. But here we see it's been given even to the wicked. We see in the book of Luke, the 70 that Jesus sent came rejoicing, saying, even the demons were subject to them because they saw the power of God. If you turn with Luke 10:17. And he returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us. But it is not the outward power that is important, it is the inward power, isn't it? It is the salvation that is important. So Jesus corrects them. And see verse 20. Jesus said in verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirit are subjected unto you, but rather rejoice because what? Your names are written in heaven. That is the most important thing. So what is more important? The prophecies, knowledge, miracles are going to fade away. The greatest is what? Love. Where does this love come from? With the power of salvation. That is greater. That is greater. True Christian love comes within, from the new heart that has been given to the believer. The eternal life is more valuable than the privileges and the power that you see outside. Remember Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. If you turn with me to Matthew 7:21. See, many ungodly false preachers doing miracles. In the name of who? In the name of Jesus. We see on TV, right in front of us, they are doing miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. See Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, mean miracles. And then I will profess unto them and say, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work. So what do we see here? Sometimes even to the ungodly these extraordinary gifts are given. So here we see very clearly, it's God, sometimes he bestows his extraordinary gifts to those whom he does not love, but hates. But on the other hand, the grace of God is given to those whom he loves. This is for a special people. This is for a peculiar people. And it is being this love is reserved only for him. The true Christian love is the effect of the saving grace. Apostle Paul was greatly privileged with extraordinary gifts, right? Paul was able to speak in tongues. He prophesied. I mean, he did miracles. But yet, he said, the greatest is love. Remember, a true story. During the war, Korean War, there was this American soldier who was ambushed and killed by the enemy. And the father of this child was so deeply, emotionally, he couldn't he was so deeply involved, it affected him so much that he really wanted to see the person who killed his son. And he pursued to find this person. And eventually, when he found the murderer of his son, let me tell you, the father is a Christian. When he found the murderer, the person really killed his son. Actually, it happened that he was able to find him, and then when they found him, and father loved this guy, he was able to show much love instead of hatred, instead of taking revenge, instead of killing him. When he had the opportunity, he showed Christian love, and he told, "You killed my son. I'm his father." And this word he couldn't understand, but he was able to show the word of God, the love of God. And he was God amazingly poured out his spirit upon that person, and he was regenerated, the murderer. And that man became a pastor. Now, I'll tell you, the greatest is love. You cannot do it. How can you love your enemy? Ask the question, how can you love your enemy? Only a Christian can do. I'm talking a true Christian can do. If you are not truly born again, this is a joke to you. You'll be just laughing. It's just a fantasy. It's just a fairy tale. It just goes above your head. I don't know. Right? But if you really are a true Christian, God gives a new heart to you. A new heart. A new spirit. You're different. You're changed. You're not the same person anymore. You're not. That's why Apostle Paul said, the greatest is love. And this love comes from saving grace. As a Christian, you're different. Jesus said, you can love your enemies. We can be like Jesus. This is the whole story, that we follow Jesus and we follow His footsteps because we are Christians. Why? The word Christian means Christ-like. We have been conformed to the image of His Son. And daily we are being renewed by the Word of God. When you take the Word of God daily, we are being sanctified daily to His image. It's daily. When you see the Word of God, it's changing us daily. It's a daily change. The more we get older, the more we get renewed inside. Our outward body decays, all getting older and older, but inwardly we are getting renewed daily to the image of His Son. The more we get older, the more we get closer, although we are getting closer to the grave. The grave is only the exit to heaven. It's not death. Death is just for the unbeliever. It's a loss. To the unbeliever, death is a loss. But to the Christian, death is a profit. It's a gain. For me to die is what? Gain. Apostle Paul says, it's not a loss. But it is so sad. Some who have been in the church for so long, it's not getting better, it's even getting worse. What's going on? Are you studying the Word? Are you studying just like Proverbs chapter 2? Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. God is above silver, is above gold, and here says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. Are you crying out for discernment? Are you lifting up your voice? God, give me the understanding. Are you crying? Are you seeking the word of God as if you are seeking for silver and searching for a hidden treasure? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. But many, they don't care because they The most important things is the life things of this world, not the word of God. If the word of God is not the priority, it's the last thing. It's the last thing to pray. It's the last thing to read the word of God. Because other things are first. So they are not crying out, absolutely not crying out for the word. They are crying out for the fleshly thing. And he says here, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk upright. And here, remember our priorities. Especially in today's world. Jesus said in the last days, Matthew 24, he said, the last days, love of many shall what? Wax cold. Why? Because of iniquity. Because of the pleasures of this world. Back again. All these gifts in the world do not make a man happy. Man's highest happiness is what? Is knowing God, loving God, and serving God. That's the highest happiness. The divine love will never fail. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says it never fail, but the prophecies, tongues, and miracles will. Divine love will remain throughout eternity, but the extraordinary gifts will fail in time. The divine love is eternal, is forever.